Yeah. Yeah. So we have a menorah, and we have a manger scene made entirely of dogs. Yes. In fact, Jesus here is a basset hound. Every year I think this, Mary, did you know that your baby boy? Anyway, never gets old for me. Oh, goodness. So what a beautiful morning it is with all of your beautiful faces here in the congregation. Talk about the lights of spirit just shining brightly. On Friday night this past week, we had a leadership meeting. I invited many of the leaders. I think I probably left some people out by accident, so I apologize for that in advance. But we had a leadership meeting where we got together, and we talked somewhat about the vision statement of the church, which is a center of love, be love, share love, serve love. And we talked about how being love is being consumed and filled with the love of God. We've had Judaism, Christianity, I'm going to speak a little Islam here, Ishkala, Mabud, Ilad. I said it all wrong. Ishkala, Mabud, Ilah, Allah, sorry. I'm all excited. I've had a little caffeine today. Okay, so anyway, what it means in English is God is love, lover, and beloved, and we are that. We are one with that love. And so to know that and to be in that ecstatic state of knowing that, that is being love. And how do we get there? Well, we do spiritual practice. We share love together as a community. We talked about how the state can become a trait. The state of ecstasy, of spiritual love, can become a personality trait if we practice together as a community, as we grow in relationship, and as we grow in our deep and powerful knowing of our oneness with love. And then the third aspect of that is to serve love, which is to ripple outward. You know, in this church, we talk a lot about rippling outward, that we don't contain the love here in this safe little sanctuary, but we take risks and we step out and we pour the love into the world around us. We shine that light so that we can be a light in the world. And how wonderful it is to shine that light in community, to shine all of our lights together. What a beautiful, beautiful glow that is. So that's why we're talking this morning about being a festival of lights. Being a festival of lights. We say that I am a festival of lights, and you are a festival of lights, and together we are an amazing party of lights, just shining our beautiful light into the world. You know, in the reading that Hugh did, he talked about the Rachel Remen's grandfather, who said to take the idea of let there be light seriously, to take it personally, to know that we have a light that wants to shine. I looked at light last night when I was figuring out what to say today, and I looked at some of the science around light. I have a wonderful relationship with science and with God. God told me to believe in science, and science told me to believe in God. Because it's so miraculous. Oh my goodness, when you really look at the way things work, it's just incredible. It's amazing. Who thought that up? Who made up science? I'd like to know. You know, we can call God, love, essence, energy, but something, some center of love, some consciousness made up science. And the science around light is just so incredible and so beautiful. And I can barely explain it, barely fathom it. But, you know, you speak about the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. Thank you. Per second. You know, and is that like the speed of prayer, which is instantaneous, right? When we say in this church that the prayer is the answer to prayer, the prayer is the demonstration itself. When you pray, it changes something within you immediately as you pray. And I also looked at the idea, something that I've known for years since I was a little kid, but that I take for granted all the time, that light is essential for life on the planet Earth. You know, not only through photosynthesis, it creates our plants, it's an amazing process, but essential for us to be able to get around and to synthesize the vitamin D in our bodies, and all of that is just so incredible and amazing to me. And then we go into the land of metaphor and literature, where they have other beautiful, beautiful illustrations of light. I'm going to read a quote from Ernest Holmes, who talks a lot about light. Ernest Holmes is the founder of this religion, and he says that my inner light shines through the mist of human beliefs and frees me from the bondage of fear and limitations. My inner light, our inner light, shines through the mist of human beliefs of limitations and frees me from that bondage. So we cultivate that inner light. Other quotes that I loved about light is, light is God's eldest daughter. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. And this other person, Terry Guillemette, said, they could have called the sun a ball of flaming joy. Ah. Yeah, it's a little complicated to call it a ball of flaming joy. Oh, look, the ball of flaming joy is out today. I think I'll go to the beach now. And then this one from the prophet Arlo Guthrie. You can't have a light without a dark to stick it in. Brother Arlo, what a great guy. So anyway, that's what today is about. It's about finding our inner light, sharing our inner light, savoring our inner light, and knowing that our light can make a difference in the world. That, to me, is the hardest thing about the spiritual path, is that we do all of this work, and we know that sometimes if we really keep with it, it makes a difference in our own personal lives. But then we look out at the world, and we see trouble, and we see problems, and we see challenges, and we see things that seem so difficult to overcome. And what would it be like if we could really believe and trust that what we do here makes a difference, that what we do not only changes ourselves, but has a positive impact on the world? I am so for that. I am so on fire about that. I am so happy to express that here and to know that truth about it. So that's where we are this morning, is doing all of that together this morning and understanding what we do. One of the most important things about light, I think, is to recognize that we have an obligation to cultivate our own inner light, to shine the light inward as well. It's kind of like how when they talk about on a plane, you know, when the oxygen mask comes down and you breathe it first and then you let your loved ones or your children breathe it. We have to cultivate our own inner light. And we have to look for ways that do that for us, that help us do that. You know, one of the ways that I do it is hiking. A while back, I wrote a blog post called The Sound of Wings, which was about hiking with my dog Saraswati, Hinduism in this service as well, Saraswati. And just when she'll point at a bush and then race at it, and all of these quail come up, and the sound of wings is just magical to me. It just brings me to a magical place of knowing that I am one with the universe, and everything here is waiting here for my enjoyment and for my pleasure, and so my ability to share it. And that brings me great joy. When I wrote that blog post, you know, you get comments on your blogs, and one person wrote, "Do people ever find you annoying?" She didn't. She's not the one who wrote it. I'm not pointing to her as the one who wrote it. Yeah, you can understand though. She's a blogger, right? So you get it. Yeah, and I said, you know, actually they do. As a matter of fact, they find that people sometimes find my joy annoying, and sometimes I have to suppress it a little bit to hold it down, to stop saying how great life is, and if somebody's struggling, you know, to hold it back a little bit. And it turned out that she wrote that to me because she has annoying joy as well as I do, and she is with someone that finds her joy very annoying. So it turned out to be a very nice conversation. But whatever it is for you, whatever brings you closer to that feeling of ishq, that feeling of divine intoxication with love or God or whatever it is you want to call it, with that wisdom that created this entire universe, I completely recommend that you take some time every single day to do that, to honor that, and to find ways to cultivate that light within you. You know, for me it's joy, but for some people it's a sense of deep peace or a sense of oneness or a sense of great love or a sense of great compassion. But whatever it is, let us take the time to do that and to understand that as we take one step in that direction, something mystical and marvelous and wonderful begins to blossom in us. And then we start to see more and more and more opportunities to express that divine light and to shine that divine light inward and then shine it outward. You know, one of the things that I read when I was reading quotes about light was that one way to brighten your own light is to shine light on the path of others. So we do that as well. We come together in community and we shine light on one another. And that's one of the things that that I think we are doing well here, and we can do it even better. And I have a guest today who's going to tell us how to shine our light. It's Meenal who's going to come up and talk to us a little bit about shining our light. Let's give a hand for Meenal. Yes. There you go.
Thank you. So I'm sitting here just marveling at the fact that today's reading was from my grandfather's blessings, because this particular method of shining your light was inspired by that book the first time I read it. And it was years ago, and I was teaching, and I had created my own course, and it was about body-focused meditations, and it's about how your body actually tells you the truth of what you're going on when your mind can actually tell you a whole bunch of other stories. And one of my students had come up to me, and she was trying to tell me, like, how grateful she was at what I was teaching. And I remember having this experience of, like, wah, 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 like, she was telling me all of this, but I couldn't actually take it in. There was something in me that was blocking me from actually receiving this gift that she was offering to me. And about the same time, I was reading my grandfather's blessings, and she talks about one of her patients telling her that at all times we're surrounded by blessings that are just wanting a place to land. And it's as if there are these tiny little airplanes, and unless my runway lights are on, they have no place to land. And I realized my runway lights were off. And so I asked myself, okay, there's something in me that's saying no to this, so what can I do differently? How can I kind of turn my runway lights on to receive these blessings? And what I realized was like, oh, if I could ask her to tell me the impact that this was having in her life, that was something that I could take pleasure in. I couldn't take pleasure in, oh, being a great teacher or whatever, all of those other words, but I could take pleasure and gratitude and gratefulness in that. And so I went back to her, and I actually apologized, and I asked her, could you tell me again and tell it to me in this way? And so it came up again on Friday night, this idea of, like, how do we support each other with attention and astonishment and telling each other about it? And I offered this practice, which is that there's so many amazing things that are going on here. So many things, little things that each of us will notice that someone else is doing. Like the special way that someone greeted someone, you know, greeted a newcomer when they came in. Or like for me, like I was just marveling, sitting here marveling at how Chris's hand isn't cramped from 4 hours of supporting the choir yesterday in practice. But that the way that I would show that appreciation would be saying something like, Chris, like, just how you showed up with just that full support and so much patience, like, as a newcomer to the choir, it's like, I really felt like you were there saying, come on, we can do this, we can do this, I'm here for you. And it just really, like, really gave me this sense of support, like, we're gonna make this happen. 2 short weeks, we're going to make this happen. And so that when we can share with each other the impact that their special light, their special gift, like what it has on me, then we get to celebrate each other. We get to, I forget exactly how you had just said it, but like encourage everyone to shine their lights a little bit brighter.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. So you get it, right? You get it? Thank you so much. That was so wonderful. You get it, that part of our task here in building community, whether you're building community with us or you're just passing through and you're building community someplace else in your family or in your workplace or what have you, is to say, you know, that really made an impact on me, what you did, in a positive way, and to take that in and to really celebrate that person's unique light. You know, Hugh in the meeting, can I tell about what you said in the meeting? Okay, sure. You know, we always say everything's confidential, and I forgot to ask him this. I forgot like half my talk, so you know, we're just my runway lights are, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, Hugh was thanking the board at the meeting for allowing me to travel and allowing me to go to India and like that. And really, afterwards, I thought about, you know, there are a lot of Science of Mind ministers who get divorced because their husbands can't put up with the schedule, and I happen to have a husband that is incredibly kind and tolerant for everything that I have to do, who lets me travel as well. So it's just wonderful. And I could probably meet everybody here that I know and tell you some impact that you've had on my life in some positive way. Every single person that I know, and those that I hope to get to know at some point, some way we will have a positive impact on each other's life. And what if we were just to, instead of not speaking about it, what if we were just to speak about it, right? Meenal quoted the Mary Oliver quote that I often do, pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. Good job, y'all. Right, so what if instead, what if we paid attention, which we sometimes don't do, right? What if we allowed it to astonish us, and what if we actually verbally or in writing told the other person how they astonished us that day? You willing to try that? You willing to try that? Could you do it today? Starting now, well, not right now, but starting in the social afterwards, or when you go, even when you go home, do it with your families and with your workplaces and all of that. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell that person, wow, dot. I've got so much to say to you, I don't even know where to start. When we had that big hug and your love of the church, and we hugged and kind of did a little slow dance last week in my office, that was just incredible. I felt your love so strongly, and that really makes a difference to me. Thank you. Thank you. So I look forward to lots of love growing in that way in this center. And one of the things about love growing in that way in this center is that it gives us courage. It gives us fortitude. It gives us the strength to take even bolder risks and step out, because it is a risk to tell somebody that they've astonished you. It feels a little weird sometimes, right? But if we get practice doing that, then we can take a bolder step out and take even a bigger risk that we wouldn't normally take. And I'm going to have somebody else come up and talk about that, Miss Shelley Eller. Let's give her some love. Here you go. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So last week, Reverend Bonnie told us a story about how she was inspired to write a children's story. Right? And she said she wasn't really sure if it made sense at the time or if it was silly, but she just went ahead and did it. And then she encouraged us to do the same. And she said that if you have an inspired thought, don't sit and analyze it and try and figure out, does this make sense? Just do it. And that really hit home to me in that moment, because I had sort of been looking for ways to spread more love and more kindness in wake of the borderline tragedy in Thousand Oaks a couple weeks ago, really been weighing on my heart. And Oprah says, you know, everyone just wants to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Do I matter? And it occurred to me that anyone who had those needs met would probably never, ever even consider such a horrible atrocity. And then that thought occurred to me, what are we doing to see that our kids' needs are met, that they feel seen and heard, and that they know that they matter? And then that thought occurred to me that maybe I should reach out to the principal of our school and ask him, what do we do at Mesa Union so that our kids know that they matter? What are we doing at our school to spread kindness and compassion? And he wrote back and told me that he would be very happy to have this conversation with me, and that he invited me to his office this last Wednesday and said that he would be happy to see, you know, anything that I had for him and would consider any of my ideas. And then I realized I didn't have any ideas. I thought, oh, how do I get myself into these things? Bonnie! But I sat down with my good friend Google and then went to work and started looking at websites like Service Space and started writing down notes. And I thought about, why don't we have a kindness club at school, and started researching that. And I have a good friend who's a school counselor in Oxnard, and I reached out to her and I said, what do you do at your school for kindness? And she told me about this thing called the Great Kindness Challenge. And I'd never heard of it before, so I did a little bit of research there. She said they've been doing it at their school for several years. And essentially, this is just a checklist of 50 acts of kindness. And throughout the week, the kids are encouraged to do 10 acts of kindness a day, so that at the end of the week they will have done 50 acts of kindness. And so as I was looking at this Great Kindness Challenge, I saw that in 2018, 20,000 schools took part in this challenge. In over 100 countries around the world, there were 10 million students that took part in this challenge last year, spreading a whopping 500 million acts of kindness. Pretty cool, right? So, so I was excited to bring this idea with me, along with several other things, to our principal and vice principal this last Wednesday at our school. And I'm happy to share that it was so well received. They loved it. And come January 28th, Mesa Union School will be participating in the Great Kindness Challenge. And our 600 students will have the potential to share approximately 30,000 acts of kindness by all of them doing 50 acts of kindness a day. And so that just makes my heart so full. And in addition, we're going to begin initiating hashtag Thankful Thursday, where every Thursday when the kids sit down and write in their journals, they won't just be writing about what's going on in their life. They're going to focus on gratitude on Thankful Thursday, which is exciting. Additionally, we have a button on the homepage of our website that says Report a Bully. And I suggested that maybe we could have another button that suggests Report an Act of Kindness, so that we aren't just looking for people who were being mean, but we're also looking for people who were kind. And lastly, after the great kindness activity in January, we're going to start a kindness club at our school, where every month I'm going to get together with a group of kids at our schools to do something as simple as making positive bookmarks with really kind messages and sticking them in the library books to surprise kids at school and encouraging them to share that message and pass it on. So it's pretty amazing, you know, how one little thing, it ripples and ripples. And I just want to share how blessed I feel to be here in this community where at VCSL we so freely are always looking away for ways to be love and share love and serve love. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so take a moment with me and visualize all those children doing acts of kindness. And children all over the world doing acts of kindness, and people all over the world doing what Meenal said to do, right? Telling people, I really appreciate you because of what you said. Think of that, and know that you are a part of creating that. Your presence here matters. Your presence here matters to the whole. Your presence is rippling all around the world. When you come here, you make a difference. You make a difference. You know, I was talking the other day with the leaders about this. One of the things that we do at the center is priceless pricing, right? Where churches in our denomination will charge for classes, and we offer them as priceless pricing, recognizing that spiritual teaching is priceless. So come to the class, pay whatever you're able to pay, or pay whatever you're moved to pay. We welcome everybody who is there, right? When I was in India last year, I was talking about that concept with some of the movers and shakers in the humanitarian group that I was with, and now I know that priceless pricing, this concept that we developed here, that I probably ripped off from somebody else, but we developed the name here as a group, from a call from the congregation, that it's in the Philippines, it's in Portugal, it's in Israel, and I just found out that it has moved to a very foreign land, the land of Texas, where a doctor's office is practicing priceless pricing. Isn't that amazing, right? So beautiful. So beautiful. So whatever it is you are offering here, know that it is your light and know that it is important. Know that together we are creating, as it says in the Global Heart Vision for our denomination, we are creating a world that works for everyone. And what does that mean? I think it means a world where there is one race, the human race, where there is one skin color, that is melanin. How much melanin do you have in your skin tone? Where there is one religion, that is kindness. Where there is one sexual orientation, which is who do I love and how do I love with great respect and kindness. that there is great oneness everywhere where we bless all beings. If you want to be a part of that, then continue to come back and to do this spiritual work, because we are moving mountains here. We are creating miracles, and we need each other to do it together. So said God. And so it is. Let's pray. Thank you.